Good to see everyone this morning. We're grateful for your presence and, of course, the many visitors that we have with us. We are grateful for you to be with us. We hope that our time together will encourage you and lift your hearts this morning. Well, I guess I can say all of us accomplished it. And you're waiting to find out what it is. We've almost made it through the year. 2014 wasn't necessarily the best year for the Hooten family. We had a lot of doctor visits, a lot of mad moments at doctors, and other things like that. But yet we've made it through another year. Could you turn the mics down a little? And in a few days, 2014 will be history. And just around the corner is the new year. A year of possibility, opportunity. 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, 31,536 seconds. Pull out your calendar app and let's get started. What are you going to do? Typically, we make resolutions as a culture. And while it is true as Christians, we commit our lives to serve God, and every day that we're given by God, a blessing itself, should compel us to live every day in His service. But yet, when you define the word resolution by dictionary definition, it means a course of action decided upon and a fixed purpose. So, while our commitment to Jesus Christ is a constant, it should be at least, we can resolve to do things better, differently, or more helpfully. For a lot of us, like me, a New Year's resolution I have this year is to lose weight again. Another resolution I have this year, again, is to exercise. And I don't know about you, that may be you. And a newspaper in Boston asked people to post their New Year's resolutions. So I'm grateful those two are mine and not these. I resolved to stop feeding the coffee plant leftover coffee. Okay, I thought that was funny. Anyway, I resolve to accept the old crony that my body already says that I am and stop trying to look like Barbie. And I resolve to become as wonderful a person as my dog thinks I am. That's old, but someone put it there. So while we will make resolutions, while all of us will have personal goals and objectives to accomplish, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, in telling us how our life as Christians should compel us in our life, I believe he sets for us some very significant points that will help us make our resolutions last. I want you to begin reading with me, beginning in chapter 3, verse 12. He said that there were those in the churches who were undermining his authority as an apostle, teaching error, causing difficulties and harm to the churches as well as to him. And he outlines that in the first part of the chapter. And he tells them to continue on in their service, attaining the resurrection from the dead. And then he says in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Now I want you to see in this text some suggestions, if you will, even imperatives, that will help us make resolutions last. Now, I don't believe the Apostle Paul nor God wrote this text for the purpose of helping you and I lose weight this year. But what drives me as a Christian ought to be the thing that I realize will drive me in my personal life. Once I have the order right, the blessings will come. So notice the very first thing that he says in verse 13. The first step to making my resolution last is forgetting what lies behind. Think about that from the apostle's point of view. Here he was, an apostle who, by the grace of God, he says, I am what I am. But he had spent the early years of Christianity by being one of its most aggressive oppressors. He was the one that Scripture reminds us in Acts chapter 7 stood there as they stoned the very first Christian and as a martyr for his faith in Jesus Christ. He was the one leading the assault against Christians to compel in them an abandonment of their saving faith in Jesus Christ and a returning to the Judaistic law. And so Paul says that the thing that he understands that all of us who are maturing in the Christ should recognize is that we are to forget what lies behind. But it's not just Paul looking back necessarily on the bad thing. But consider what happened in his life to which he refers, even in all of his writings. That before he was chosen by Christ to be an apostle, he was, in the Jewish system of things, a most important teacher, believed to have been the successor to the greater teacher, Gamaliel, of which we read about in the book of Acts. And no doubt there would have been great prestige and honor associated with that place in Jewish society, but more than likely, there was an awful lot of dividends. And even in this very context, he says, I count all of those things as rubbish, the King James says, so that I could press on to what is ahead. So in order for us to make our resolutions last, we need to adopt the spirit that Christ had about his life as a Christian. And the first thing is we have to forget the wrongs that we have committed that will paralyze us with guilt. Now don't misunderstand my point, because the Apostle Paul is not saying when he forgot the things behind that he just abandoned them, left them along the side of the road, and acted as if they had never happened. But the things that he had done wrong, he set them down exactly where they needed to be set down. He didn't leave them on the side of the road as if they were unimportant, nor did he hide them under a bush so that no one else could see. He put them exactly where they needed to be, at the foot of the Savior who died to make him whole. He confessed his sin by repenting in his sin. And for you and I to forget what lies behind, we have to recognize that in our relationship with God, the sins that we see in our life, we cannot merely set aside. We cannot merely hide under the bush. We have to bring them where they need to be, at the foot of the Savior, and confess to our Savior our sinfulness because of the repentant heart that we have. And notice what John says about that in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and His Word is not in us. We have got to forget the wrongs that will paralyze our future by forgetting them the way the Apostle Paul did, by not setting them aside, not hiding them, but bringing them to the feet of the Savior who will forgive when we repent and confess them to Him. But also we need to do something else. In this forgetting what lies behind, like I said to my wife this morning, I was getting ready to step on the scale. And she said, "Don't do it." And then the truth is there. And I'm thinking of returning to winter camp to face the faces of my cabin that I promised years ago that before I turned 49, I'd lose 49 pounds. And guess where it is? We have to forget our failures if we're going to move forward. Maybe your failure to keep past resolutions makes you cynical, skeptical about doing anything good in 2015. But forgetting what lies behind is the key. If it's sin, repent of it. Confess your sin, and God will forgive you. If it's failures, recognize God is still behind you. Well, then there's step two. It's interesting language that the English Standard uses when it translates it. It says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." You know, when I hear the word strain, all I can think of is strained peas. Not a pleasant picture. And the word itself actually connects the idea about intense concentration. And so the second step for us to make resolutions that last, learning in our life as a Christian that the first thing we're to do is to forget what lies behind, but we are to strain forward toward what lies ahead. But I want to say this first before I talk about that. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul says there's something that lies ahead. There's something that lies ahead. And whatever this straining is related to, he doesn't suggest the idea that what we are straining forward toward is simply the beautiful, the gold, and the majesty. Because what may lie ahead for us is something that in this experience to reach the final goal may not be pleasant at all. What lies ahead makes us realize there are some certainties we must all face. Like in my case, I'm never going to look like George Clooney. It's just never going to happen. But if we want to shape our future, some things will always be in our future. Disappointments, discouragements, shortcomings. And if we know what the Bible says about anything, we know there's still going to be sin ahead. Not that our life is set in stone, not that God has predetermined our destiny, but the reality is that what lies ahead of us in 2015 is what lies ahead of us every year. And so when we recognize in this exhortation of Paul about our Christian life to strain forward to what lies ahead, we must recognize that what Christians faced was extraordinary. If you remember, it was the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14 when he says to those Christians that he had just established as a congregation. It says that they had preached the gospel to that city. And then in verse 22, they strengthened the souls of the disciples of Acts 14, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So what lies ahead of us is the reality of tribulations as a Christian. And so we have to strain forward toward So many times we think that all those difficulties are nothing but evil, that their very presence in our life indicates that there's something extraordinarily wrong with God or with us. But we must strain forward to what lies ahead, and if what lies ahead is the tribulation that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, told those Christians lied ahead for them, we have to strain forward. I don't care what that is. So what does it then mean to strain? It might be helpful to picture the word as one man pictured the word as a runner with his body bent over in a race, eyes fastened on the goal. And even in that analogy, you must recognize that as he is focusing on what lies ahead, that the process to get to what lies ahead is all the obstacles that lie ahead of what his ultimate goal will be. You and me as Christians need to recognize that we must remain focused and determined on what lies ahead. We would be foolish as Christians to simply say that God just wants you to be happy and everything in your world will be hunky-dory. But there are going to be difficulties that every year will face upon us. Some of us will say, I sure hope 2015 is better than 2014. And I'm going to say that. But I have to recognize that what lies ahead, I have to strain forward through. I have to concentrate. I have to recognize that what lies ahead of me is something that God is not going to let me falter in unless I falter myself. So what is it that I need to do with what lies ahead? Well, I need to make sure that whatever I do, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, do it all for the glory of God. So if you're experiencing difficulties or trials or tribulations of any form or fashion, ask yourself that am I straining forward through this difficulty where God is getting the glory? Or am I asking people to feel sorry for me? Or am I asking people to say, oh, poor little Don, he lost, all those coconut pies that he keep eating is making him gain his weight again. Our goals have to glorify God. And then when I reach that goal, is it true that what I've chosen to be will resemble Jesus? As was noted in our devotion before the communion, Jesus was born lowly. And I would suggest to you that while he was the King of all glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords, he died lowly. And a lot of times our efforts to set as our resolutions to make more money or to do this and to have more cars and to have more houses, we need to recognize that sometimes if those resolutions are what capitalize our thinking, we may not end up resembling Jesus like we think we do. No, I'm not saying Christians are supposed to be poor. Nor am I saying that Christians are supposed to be ugly and outcasts of society. But I need to ask myself that when I make the goals that I do, is what I'm going to look like at the end resemble Jesus? And I would ask you this. That in the choices that you'll be making as you strain toward what lies ahead, will the choices that you make really help teach the world about Jesus Christ? Will the choices that you make put in clear view of the people that see you experiencing whatever it is that you're going to be striving toward? Will it give you opportunity to teach people the Word of God? Would Jesus spend his time this way? Would Jesus think this is a good thing for my life? Would Jesus think that I'm making the needs of others more important than my own? So when you make and choose your activities to reach your goals, how will it affect your personal life? Will you be able to spend time with yourself and make sure that you are being taken care of in terms of your relationship with God? Your spiritual life should be growing all the time, growing mentally in wisdom and in knowledge. As elders, we provide for you a daily Bible reading program. Those are in the foyer for you. There are several choices. You can read 5 days a week, or you can read the one that provides Old and New Testament morning and evening, or as you'll notice in the bulletin today, choosing a book that already prints it in order of however you want to read it. Organize your activities around what you really believe what lies ahead should be. And then think about your family. If you're reaching those goals, have they still been part of who you really are? Do you know them? Do you love them? Are you leading them? And think about your church family. When we stop thinking about our church responsibilities, we will always get out of balance. We can't be all God wants us to be without being involved in the family of God. A lot of times our work destroys every aspect of who we are as a person. Improving your job skills is great. But the question is, will it help your family? If providing for our family keeps us from providing for what our family really needs, what good have we really done? Strain forward toward what lies ahead and concentrate on what really matters. And the last step is press on. As he said about his life as a Christian, I press on toward the goal. The goal for him was with clarity, the crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will award to me on that day, as he will to all who have loved his appearing. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly where he wanted to be. And he says, I press on toward that goal. So when you as a Christian are making choices about what other resolutions you make, I'm going to suggest to you, like me and my coconut cream pie obsession, I need to press away. And we need to press on. But I want to tell you first, go slow. That's usually my mistake. I see 15 things I want to work on in the coming year, and I want to start them all now. And that becomes frustrating. Capitalized by a cartoon, Calvin, from Calvin and Hobbes, who said, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind, I'll never die. So go slow, but press on. And then recognize that if you're going to press on in all of these things that are you are making these resolutions so that they will last, press on in them and tell your friends about them. Maybe it's something that you want to change in your behaviors, like better attendance. I'm going to promise you, there are going to be times it will be tiring. No one ever thinks that the preacher ever gets tired, you know. He gets paid to be here. Someone actually told me that. You're just paid to be here. Okay. I know it can be tiring. But you need to recognize that as a Christian, the Apostle Paul, think of the things that tired him. What tired him was not how much Jesus pulled from his life, but how much sin he witnessed in others pull from them. was on his soul was the weight of the churches. And I realize that that relates to him extraordinarily and specifically as an apostle and does not relate to me or to us. But yet it shows the very real point that the things that matter, that we should press on for, are going to be the things like better attendance. Maybe taking more time to better read your scripture and not see every one of those NCIS reruns. Maybe spending more time in prayer. Maybe you should tell one of your brothers and sisters in Christ, help me with that this year. And your press will go onward. But if it's going to change your life, you have to live it every day. How many times have you heard that? You have to do more than just pencil it in as part of a list of New Year's resolutions that when you get to the end of the year, like the reports and the reviews say, 8 out of every 10 people drop their resolutions. I've been one of those 8 people. I know. But if I press on to the goal, I'll stop penciling it in. And if you will press on toward the goal of the commitment that you made as a Christian when you were baptized into Christ to be given the greatest blessing of all eternity, the forgiveness of your sins, made possible to you by a Savior who loved you more than life itself, saved by a God who gave His own Son that dreamed the dream from eternity long before we ever began, long before we ever chose to rebel against Him, long before we ever turned our back on Him, He continued to love us all the way. Why will you not choose today to serve that God and press on toward that goal that He Himself has set for you? A goal that you can achieve because His grace and mercy is rich. A commitment you must make to make a resolution that will last. If you would turn to the song that was announced, that this morning invites you to become a Christian, or if you are a Christian, invites you to make right any wrong or any petition for prayer you may need. Our hope is that you will see in our voices the earnest plea of our hearts, that you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That today you will give to Him everything like He has given everything to you. And recognize that Jesus the Savior died for a real reason. Because we're sinners. Every one of us. And He, by offering His blood, allows God to forgive us of the sin we've committed. So this morning, if you want to claim that joyous gift, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16:16. We plead with you to come. As together we stand and as we sing.